Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat. Coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday. Hope you're all set to have a great, safe weekend wherever you are, whatever you're doing, wherever you're going. Please carry the G while doing so. Make sure you're safe and keeping others around you safe at all times. Having a great time. I know I will be. Actually not doing a ton this weekend in preparation of trying to lay back, spend time with my girls before I leave for my vacation next week. But it's always good just to remind people to take it easy. Have a good time, but take it easy. Look out for each other, man. A lot of crazy shit happening today. Woke up to some just nonsense on the timeline. And, you know, we saw all sorts of crazy stuff happening in the world. And I just want to remind everybody, treat each other well. Treat each other with kindness this weekend. Just try it. See what happens. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody in the comments already mixing it up. I want to give a shout out to our friends over at Ticket King. That's right. You can go to a link in the description of this video if you need Packers tickets, home or away, preseason, regular season, whatever you need. Ticket King's got you covered. Follow that link in the description of this video, or you can go to CheeseheadTV.com and look at our schedule, or you can use the Cheesehead TV app. Every single game on the schedule links to each individualized ticket set for the games from your friends at Ticket King. Do it, people. You know you want to go see these games. You want to see the Packers dominate in 2024. I can't wait. I cannot wait for it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Speaking of something I cannot wait for, it's to watch Rashawn Gary wreck shop. I mean, I understand after he got paid this past season, the Packers, you know, made him a significantly one of the top paid edge defenders slash pass rushers in the game. I know the final kind of, you know, month or so of the season, his sack numbers weren't there. In fact, he didn't tally a single sack throughout, I believe, the last seven games, something like that. Last month of the season or so. And I know there are rumblings all the time about, oh, you know, there's XYZ that he's not doing, or he's not getting near enough pressure. And I think a lot of that is kind of anecdotal, but when you go and you look at the tape and you look at things where he is affecting the pocket or is affecting the quarterback, he is doing those things. And those are oftentimes things that sometimes show up on a stat sheet, especially with the new metrics, you know, pass rush win rate and things of that nature. But he's not doing it probably as consistently as you would expect and or like him to. And I do think the fact that he played 17 games last year after coming off that ACL injury, I think people even maybe sometimes forget that he started training camp on PUP, you know, and I do not doubt for a moment that being another year removed from that injury is going to help, and it's going to make him not only look, but be a lot more explosive, a lot more consistent. There's zero doubt that the switch to a 4-3 and having him there as a defensive end, hand in the dirt, most likely, a lot of early downs. It's going to be fascinating to see how Jeff Hafley utilizes him and how much truly kind of one-on-one time he gets, so to speak, when he's being asked to get upfield and get after the quarterback. You know, we've talked about it a little bit with the defensive tackles and the defensive line in general. The mentality switch here, those guys up front, you will be stopping the run on your way to the quarterback. It is a scheme that asks those guys, especially on the edge, get upfield and get after the QB. Now, there is no doubt we've seen Rashawn have some issues with contain at times. You know, there's plenty of tape for you to look at where you see him kind of taking a wide loop and allowing a quarterback plenty of opportunity to step up and out and escape and, you know, pick up some yards that way. We certainly saw a couple times against the Giants with Tommy DeVito on that primetime game and many others. But I think the switch to the 4-3 and having his hand in the dirt and asking him to play a bit of a different style will help a lot in that regard. There's no doubt that this is a guy that you've paid and you have made a cornerstone of your defense. He is entering his fifth year and he's never had a 10 sack season. Came close last year. Had nine, but again, was coming off a pretty major injury. And I think in 2022, had he stayed healthy, you know, he got hurt, what, week 9, and he had 6 sacks. I think he was on his way to a 10-sack season in 2022 prior to the injury. I think this is the year where he becomes a consistent terror for offenses. And I'm not going to say that, you know, he's just been used wrong and that's why he hasn't hit 10 sacks or anything like that. But I do think using him in this scheme the way Halfley probably will should end up getting him closer to the quarterback. And if not getting the quarterback on the ground and tallying sacks per se, it will certainly allow him to affect the quarterback a little bit more and on a more consistent basis, which is really what you want. He is certainly one of the better pass rushers in the game. There's no doubt that he can wreck a game single-handedly when given the opportunity. I'm really excited to watch him put it together in year five, again, past the injury, just get upfield, get after the quarterback, get him on the ground. I think we're going to see that on a consistent basis from Rashawn. And that's been the thing. We've seen plenty of flashes. We've seen plenty of games and or stretches where he's been somewhat dominant, right? But we need that consistently. And I think we get that in 2024. Hello to everybody in the comment section. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody mixing it up. Starting with Ed. What's up, man? I am so glad Jordan Love is our QB. I will leave it at that. I can't fathom what that might be about, Ed. I'm with you, though, brother. Dustin, what's going on? Thanks for the super chat. Hello from Shadow Lane. Any Friday fish fry recommendations? Random Packer, Kyler Fackrell. Oh, I think that's the first Fackrell we've ever gotten. Well done. The Friday fish fry in Wisconsin that I always recommend is the Club Tavern in Menasha. My parents took me there years ago. I had never been prior to, I want to say, 2019 or 18 or something like that. It is being phenomenal. Club Tavern in Menasha. Check it out. Get there early, though, because they do get busy. Jerry, how are you? So good to see you here with us live. I got your message on Patreon. Thanks so much for reaching out. Jerry says, I'm planning my first trip to Lambeau and want it to be the weekend of the Cheesehead TV meetup. Will it be Detroit or the 49ers? I need to head to Ticket King. You do need to head to Ticket King. Jerry, we will be discussing this on the Patreon and Carry the G Club happy hour on Tuesday night. I do think there's a good chance that one of the games you have suggested will be one of the games that ends up being the weekend of the Cheesehead TV meetup. But I want to talk to everybody. We want to get input from everyone. And most importantly, hear from Charlene, who is always our host for the Cheesehead TV meetup. But good chance one of those will be the destination weekend. Just make sure you're either in attendance for the happy hour on Tuesday, if you want to give your input, or after Tuesday, we'll definitely be putting up the information on the Patreon page, on the Carry the G Club page, and we'll let everyone know when the Cheesehead TV meetup will be this year. Joey, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. I think Gary going back to a 4-3 like he did at Michigan should have a great effect on Gary. I think there is a possibility that, you know, it's so funny when you spent all this time kind of sculpting that clay, so to speak, right? I mean, he was, I'm going to say a fish out of water, but it was very foreign to him standing up, playing that 3-4 outside backer position or defensive end on third downs, if you're talking to Matt. I do think, you know, they've spent a good deal of time trying to make that fit and trying to make that work. But I think there might be something to what you're saying there as far as falling back into something that is a little bit more familiar, something that he certainly did throughout his time at Michigan. I don't think there's anything he can't do on a football field when you're talking about playing defense, right? I think he's as talented as anybody in the league. I think there's no doubt, you know, there were very, very rare times where they did ask him to drop and flip his hips and carry a tight end or try to take a back out of the backfield. But most of that, in fact, probably all of that, on maybe the rare occasion when there's some kind of exotic dialed up. But for the most part, all of that's taken off his plate. Now he's just going to go play 4-3 D end and get after it. And that should be good for him. Lambo Leo, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Found out Marshawn Lloyd's hometown is only an hour from me in Maryland. Pretty cool. Easy drive for an auto. What are your thoughts on him, Nags? I think he's insanely talented, and I am getting excited about getting him on the field early and often. You guys know what it's going to take, though. He's got to contribute on teams early, and he 100% has to show that he can hold up in pass protection. And when we talk about that, it's not just the physical side of pass pro, though that's obviously very important. You got to be able to stone guys in the hole. Got to keep your quarterback clean. It's paramount. You're not going to get on the field without being able to do it. But you also have to know and be able to execute every single thing that's going to be asked of you, both pre-snap, knowing the protections and knowing the sets and everything, but also what Jordan does. You saw the second half of last year. Look no further than the big touchdown to Wicks in the playoffs, where the Cowboys are coming after him with a zero blitz. It's all out pressure, and he's directing traffic. And you, as a back, you got to know every one of those checks and your responsibility and what the pressure is going to be pre-snap and then post-snap. What is your read and where are you supposed to work and who is your guy? And not all happens like that. And this ain't college. This is much more difficult, faster. Guys are a lot better and or more physical and talented, etc. So those are the things where it's great. I'm going to be very excited watching him pass pro drill work in camp, no doubt about it. But what he's got to prove is that that aspect of the game isn't too much for him. And I'm not saying like that's any rookie, right? That's not just Lloyd in particular. But those are the things that I watch him run, and God, he is exciting with the ball in his hand. And I do think he can be utilized as a weapon in the passing game. But I think most of those things are things that you would expect from most rookie running backs. You know, there's no doubt that he can do that aspect of the job. I'm pretty sure that will translate to the NFL. The question is can he hold up in pass pro? Is he going to be a liability when he's out there in that regard? Because if he is, he ain't getting on the field. And that's just the truth of the matter. Em, what's up? Good to see you, man. Thanks for the super chat. And thanks for being a Carry the G Club member. Hi, Nags. Is it reasonable aspect 8 to 9 games for the D to get on the same page with the new defensive coordinator? Enjoy your vacation. Are you headed to Italy? I will be in Italy for a few days. Thanks for asking. I'm very excited. Never been. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, I think 8 to 9 games, something we've talked about a couple times here on Daily, and I think we discussed it a little bit on Happy Hour. You know, the hope is, yes, but halfway through the season, you're hitting your stride, so to speak, and cooking with gas, and your young guys have made the mistakes they're going to make and have learned from them and are starting to put it together. And the especially communication on the back end is at least kind of hitting its stride, and there's no kind of gaping holes in coverage and guys pointing, I thought you had them kind of stuff. I don't doubt for a moment we're going to see some of that, right? But to your point, yeah, I think about halfway through, it's not unreasonable to expect it to look like a maybe not a finely tuned, you know, machine or whatever, but to at least look like they're starting to gel. I don't think that's unreasonable at all. Joe, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Does you, Aaron Nagler, being invited by Packers to be on an audition on Twitter, suggest the Packers marketing department has turned a corner? I don't know about all that. I think they're in a really good spot. They're heading in a great direction. They've got really talented people, as I've always said. Lots of really talented people when it comes to social media, Packers Digital, what have you. You know, there are a few other new voices, new people in the mix as far as approving things and letting them get a little bit more creative. And obviously that's great. I'm all for it. And I'm excited to see where it heads, because it's clear that they're, I don't want to call it getting out of their shell, because I don't think, you know, they're just being allowed to do a lot more and be a little bit more creative, and you just love to see it. Popeye's Beef. I love that handle. What's up, man? Josh Jacobs has 1,305, 1,305 rushing carries. Does the tape show he has slowed up at all? Marvell Underwood, I believe, is your random Packer. No, I don't think so at all. We've talked a little bit about this. I do think he was under attack, duress, if you will, for much of last season out there in Vegas with the Raiders and their offensive line, which was pretty, let's be kind. There was pretty nondescript, not great. I don't see any indication that he's slowed down or is slowing down. I think, yes, he is a workhorse back. And I think within the breadth of all those carries that you're talking about, if you look at the individual games, especially in situations where the Raiders are in it, right? Like, especially late in game, look, the Kansas City game is a perfect example where he is one of those classic backs where if you get him around the 15 touch mark, he's getting stronger. He's getting better. He just feels like he operates at a higher level the more usage he gets in game. Now, of course, that does add up over the course of the season. But yeah, if you're in a game situation that allows you to do it, I think feeding him the ball makes a lot of sense, especially in the second half when guys start making business decisions and he's making them pay. And it's funny. Like when you talk about that, I've always thought that's the kind of back AJ would be if he was ever given that opportunity. You know, we've seen Dylan step in and kind of, you know, yes, played the lead role when Aaron Jones was out, but it's never been like a let's give him 15, 18 carries. You know, it's never been a game plan designed around that. It's been a game plan designed around the quarterback, which I get, I understand. But I always thought AJ would be, could be that kind of back. I think AJ has shown many times that if you give him carries consistently throughout a game and then into the second half, into the fourth quarter, he gets stronger the more he gets. And that's what I see with Josh Jacobs, most definitely. He is a guy who is punishing people. Brett, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. Random Packer and Saints Hall of Famer, Jahri Evans. Ooh, first Jahri Evans mentioned. And yes, a Saints Hall of Famer. And was up for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, if I remember right. William James, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. I'm ready for Bullard to light any Eagle up week one. Random Packer, Bryce Paul. Bryce Paul, pass rushing demon. Yeah, I am ready for any Packers defender to light up anybody in an Eagles uniform in week one. I do think that's going to be not telling, but it's going to be probably a little bit nerve-wracking in week one because brand new defense. You've got a new coordinator in Philly as well, obviously on offense, a new coordinator on defense in Green Bay. So it's got a lot of unscouted stuff, a lot of unknowns, a lot of kind of trying to figure each other out, maybe some jabs there early on, you know. But I do think with defense, you can be more read and react, and you can rely on those kind of athletes that you've gathered and assembled, right? Bullard certainly fits that bill. A guy you're going to maybe, you know, get down there in the box and let him get after people and punish them a little bit. I am all for that, no doubt. Homos Hayden, Minnesotan, how are you, man? So good to see you. Hope you have a great weekend. I hope you have a great weekend, sir. And I'm sorry that you have to live in Minnesota. Jibex Sales Gun Shop. I'm sure I butchered your name. Sorry about that. Is the biggest weakness of this defense giving up the big play or something else? It's a good question. When you talk about any defense, right, the whole key is to be sound and consistent, sound in your fundamentals, sound in whatever classwork you're doing. When you put it on the field, making sure everyone's on the same page. You can be as exotic or as, you know, aggressive, quote unquote, as you want. But if even one guy's out of place, to your point, yeah, you can give up some big plays. And I think it's somewhat, just as a thought exercise, a bit of the nature of the defense where we want eyes on the quarterback. You want guys a little bit more physical at the line of scrimmage. There's an opportunity maybe for an offensive player to, you know, win that one-on-one right off the bat and maybe say, get up off the sideline or, you know, maybe work underneath. But, you know, the idea is with McKinney back there, that's your post safety, especially if they're running some cover three stuff, like he's going to kind of work sideline to sideline to eliminate, hopefully, some of the deep opportunities. I do not doubt for a moment that we will see one or two big plays, quote unquote, early in the year where, you know, they're just not on the same page yet, still learning kind of the scheme and what's being asked of them. The coupling of such a brand new scheme, something they haven't run at all, you know, a lot, anybody on this squad, coupled with the amount of youth they're most likely going to be rolling out there, I think it's only natural to expect that, right? It's just a question of like limiting the bleeding, so to speak, and hopefully being able to keep up on the offensive side of the ball while the defense is figuring it out. Now, I say all that, but remember last year, we were all like, you know, well, the offense is going to take some time. The defense has got to carry the weight. And, I mean, at times it kind of did, but certainly didn't for more often than not. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a few big plays given up, but I don't think that's a quote unquote weakness of the scheme. You know, there's certainly spots to be found, right? If you look at some of the versions of this type of defense that have been run in either San Francisco, maybe in Houston or possibly in New York. I mean, I think with the Texans and the Jets, they've been pretty sound and they've limited big plays. You know, the 49ers last year, I think gave up way more big plays than they're used to. And I think that's one of the reasons why Shanahan made the move he did at defensive coordinator. But, you know, there's opportunities for big plays in any scheme versus any scheme. It's just a question of being consistent in what's being asked of you, especially coverage wise. And that's where kind of the youth and inexperience will undoubtedly rear its head from time to time. I would not be surprised. What else we got here, folks? Random Packer John Anderson. That's a good one. Oh, Most Hated. Thanks so much, man. Thanks for those kind words. Sammy asks, is Jordan Love getting signed? I did a video about this very thing here on the YouTube channel. Yes, they'll get it done. It'll happen before training camp. Do not pay attention to any of the updates throughout the season, especially, you know, probably driven by ESPN a little bit. That is, you know, all for engagement, narrative, drama. They will get it done. It'll happen before camp. If it doesn't happen by the time camp kicks off, then we can start talking about it. But until then, just assume it'll get done. It's very complicated. There's no doubt. You look at just around the league, the situation in Miami with Tua, they just paid, you know, the Detroit just gave Goff the bag. So there are, you know, other factors here as far as comparatives and things that they'll be discussing in those negotiations. And it's very, very early. You know, they couldn't even really open up the possibility of doing a deal. They could, you know, work on, you know, some of the early negotiation stuff like at the combine, but you know, May was the first time they could really kind of talk serious turkey. And now that they have begun, I'm sure it will probably go throughout the off season into the summer. And like I said, I expect it'll get done probably before, well before camp, but they'll announce it or it will get reported sometime before camp. That is my guesswork right now. Good evening from London. Good afternoon, soon to be evening from New York City, Dale. So good to see you, buddy. McKnight says, hit like. There you good. There you go. It is still a crime that Rasul is not part of this. I would have loved it, man. He was absolutely the one defensive player who came down in and down out like he meant business all throughout last season prior to getting traded. But, man, you know, they got a call from Buffalo, and Buffalo said, hey, how about a third rounder for a guy who's going to be 30 soon, going to have to pay again. I understand why Brian took the call, and I understand why Brian made the trade. I'm with you, man. I loved Rasul in the green and gold, but, you know, at some point, it ain't show friends. It's show business. Jesse says, Xavier McKinney is getting paid to cover up because they probably will be aggressive. Random Packer, Jeff Query. Ooh, Jeff Query. The mullet makes an appearance. Yeah, there's some of that, definitely. McKinney is, you know, or was their top target, you know, so they can operate the way they want to on defense. And there will be times guys get beat off the line of scrimmage, and that's what I was talking about, right? You got McKinney there kind of as your center fielder, so to speak, playing that high post, and he's going to come down hard, charge hard, and hopefully erase or eliminate any mistakes that are made, because they will happen, no doubt about it. All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. A reminder, sign up for the Cheesehead Nation newsletter. Latest one just went out yesterday morning. Got a great group. I get emails about it each and every week. Tons of really great Packers, Cheesehead TV content. Just a different way for you to get everything we do at Cheesehead TV, because there is a lot. So sign up. There's a link in the description of this video. Cheesehead Nation, we're going throughout the entirety of the offseason every Thursday morning. And then when the season starts, we'll be doing it twice a week, early in the week after the game, and then later in the week to get you prepped for the upcoming weekend game. And it's going to be a lot of fun, lots of exclusive content. Make sure you sign up. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday. Go Pack, go.